Hi, this is Dr. Diane Hayden, and I am the publisher of Natural Nutmeg Magazine, Essential Living Maine Magazine, and a series of book collaborations. Our latest one is entitled Essential Healing for Your Spirit and Soul, and I'm really excited about this book collaboration because it's a group of 20 authors from all different walks of life who have basically gone down a path to having a spiritual practice because of possibly some life event that happened to them or a health crisis or some that actually knew this is what they wanted to do from a very young age. And so it's been a great opportunity for me to meet all of these authors, and we're very excited about this book. It's going to be really informative for people who are looking for different modalities to, you know, potentially help a health condition that you might have, or really just help you improve your personal development. And also, I'm sure there are some of you listening to these calls that are interested in pursuing some of these modalities as a potential career or career change. So I'm excited today to have Cynthia Haas on the line with me. She is a massage therapist, kundalini yoga teacher, and aromatherapist, and has always been interested in health and nutrition. She taught herself yoga from a book when she was 21 years old. She enrolled in massage school, graduated from the Ann Arbor Institute of Massage Therapy in 1996, and while in school, she was introduced to essential oils and began experiencing a major difference in her massage practice and her life when using therapeutic-grade oils. She wrote a course in essential oils from the massage school. She is a teacher and advocate for people taking responsibility for their own health, not being victims to disease. Cynthia loves to see people get healthy by teaching them about essential oils, how to make changes in their diet, teaching easy breathing techniques, ways to de-stress, and more. The simple things that make grand changes in one's health if utilized over time. So thanks so much, Cynthia, for being with us today. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So, wow, you taught yourself yoga from a book.
I did.
I'm sure that popped out to a lot of people. I mean, normally I start the calls with talking a little bit about your life journey, which I'm sure that's a piece of it, but I think people will find that fascinating, and I'm guessing it's because there really weren't any yoga classes or schools or anything near you at that time.
No, there wasn't, and for some reason, the word yoga, I was fascinated. It had a resonance, believe it or not. And the other word that had a resonance when I heard it was chakras. So before the internet and everything, and that long ago, so I picked up a book, and the name of the book was
we can come back to it. You'll probably remember it.
Yeah. Anyway, it was. I read the part about the yoga, and I was fascinated. And it was written by Jess Stern, who didn't believe in yoga. And this, like I said, this was in the 70s. The book was maybe even written in the 60s. He had knee issues, back issues, and he practiced with this woman, and all of his health issues were gone. And then it had some poses, and I was hooked. So I just started doing yoga at that point.
Wow, that's amazing. So that kind of leads us to, you know, the ultimate question is, you know, how did you kind of go down the path to becoming a yoga teacher and a massage therapist and everything that you do, if there was any life events that happened to you or health issues, or if it was really just what you, you know, always knew you wanted to do?
Yeah, that's a good question. I didn't always want to be a massage therapist. In fact, honestly, I never did. I had a health issue. I had chronic fatigue in the early 90s. I had two small children, and I wanted to be a good mom, and I could hardly peel myself off the sofa. And people would say, well, you have two kids, of course you can be tired. No, this kind of fatigue was, there's something wrong with me. So I went to the doctor because that's how I'd been trained. You're sick, you go to a doctor, and they did all kinds of blood work and came back and said, you are in textbook perfect health. We're going to put you on antidepressants.
Oh, great.
And thank you. I know. Thank God I had an inner knowing. I'm like, no, that's not what's wrong with me. Something is wrong. And I knew that they couldn't help me because that was all that they could come up with. And I left. I was a lady. I wasn't angry, but inside I was burning up. That's all you have for me. And this was before the internet, so I was on a mission to heal myself. And I had an inner knowing that I could do it. I had no idea how. So I started going to herbalists, nutritionists, nutritionists that were handing out supplements. I studied homeopathy. I went to homeopathists. That's not a word, I don't think, at home. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep, homeopathy.
And I just started feeling better. But the turning point for me was when I started getting a massage. And the massage therapist I went to was amazing. In fact, I've modeled myself after her, and it was a stroke of divine guidance that I even found her. I had to drive 45 minutes to get a massage in a state of fatigue. But what she did for me, and she did craniosacral also, the healing started to begin. I started to feel better. Well, later on, and I'm thinking like 10 years, 10 years after I was feeling better, I started to think, you know, and I was studying Eastern religion, Eastern medicine, and I learned that the body has 90 what they're called nadis, they're little energy points, and I think what massage did was connect the dots to the energy. For some reason, I wasn't connected. And it was really a wake-up call because I wasn't connected to who I was. And so I think that's how I got on that healing journey. Now, if somebody would ask me why a massage therapist, I went into massage school kicking and screaming. I fancied myself, I love getting massage. No, I'm not a massage therapist. But, you know, you read about that still, small voice. Well, mine wasn't so still, and it wasn't so small. It was, I woke up one day, and I was told, go to massage school. And I'm arguing with myself. No, you got it wrong. I like massages. I like to get them. I'm not giving them. A week later, I signed myself up to the best massage school in the area.
Wow.
Well, that's my story on how did I become a massage therapist. In fact, my family was so upset. My mother, I was allopathic. And my mother taught nursing at a college here in Detroit. And my brother flew in. When he found out I was going to massage school, he flew in to talk me out of it. He said, you never
get any
money. Oh, yeah. It was like against the grain. And my brother, as it turns out, he thought he was my gatekeeper. Well, you know, I was on a mission, and I just listened because it wasn't a still small voice. It was like a direction. And when you get that kind of direction, I don't think you argue. I know I didn't. I tried, and it didn't work. So.
Yeah. Well, I think I have talked to people who have argued, and you just get continually hammered over the head harder and harder.
I think
you
so.
Listen. Yeah,
I did, and within a week, it wasn't like I belabored. No, it was within a week I'm signed up. I'm in the massage school. You know, so, but I loved, this was my rationalization, I loved the idea of muscles. And I realized, here I am in a body, and I know not one thing about it. So, and coming off of chronic fatigue, I thought that would be a good thing. So I rationalized, yeah, well, I should know about the body and all the systems and the muscles. So, you know, I really did enjoy it. But, and I had always been very sensitive to energy, although I didn't know that's what it was. And I must have said something in the interview because they said, oh, we don't teach any of that. We don't teach energy. And to myself, I'm thinking, just
what?
Being within three 3 feet of a person, you're doing energy, much less laying your hands on somebody. So I wasn't argumentative. I'm like, okay, whatever you say. But it's all energy. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, no, that's so true. That's funny. Yeah, so even the massage therapy schools can be a little allopathic, I guess.
She was very technical. I mean, it was the hardest school, and, you know, if massage therapists could wear lab coats, she would have had us in it. So,
right.
Very technical.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really important about what you said as far as your family, going to the lengths of actually having a family member fly to see you to try to discourage you. I want to get into that because I know that there are people that are thinking about making either it's a career change into a healing type of practice, or, you know, maybe something they've always known they want to do. And I know that many people do not get support from their family and their friends, and a lot of people might, you know, it might be really not just not even getting support, but also, like your situation, people trying to talk them out of it or making them feel like they're making a bad decision and things like that. So what, you know, how did you get, I know you said you just had to listen to your inner voice, but was there anything else that you would you know, say to somebody who's in that place? Like, how did you kind of move through that and deal with all of that while, you know, you were moving down this different path than what your family had expected?
Right. Well, I think what I would have to say is he didn't move me one degree. I was just so sure. Even though it's nothing I wanted, that sounds kind of contradictory, but I was very sure. And so he couldn't talk me out of it. And what I would say to a person who might be up against something like that, and things have changed. That was 20 years ago. So people are more amenable to what we call alternative, which I think is a misnomer. I think that what we're doing in allopathic medicine is alternative. But
exactly.
Anyway, let's see, I lost my train of thought. Oh, I would say follow your heart. This isn't a head trip, you know, and you can easily talk yourself out of it. I didn't like to tell people I was a massage therapist because I could feel their energy go, like, down. So I wasn't going around saying, hey, I'm a massage therapist to people that I was just meeting, you know.
Right.
So I would say follow your heart and ask yourself, why are you thinking about doing this, and what is really your end game, and what's your motivation? And if you don't know, then stalk that. Because what was interesting when I was in massage school, there was 45 students, there was only 3 people that I would let massage me. And the instructor knew. I was very sensitive to energy, and most people, well, at that time, there was a lot of young people just graduated from high school. I didn't feel like their energy was right. And I know now I'm an empath. I pick up energy. So I just, as a self-defense, I just didn't want anybody touching me. It had to be a person that I had a resonance with. And the massage school was very nice about that, and it wasn't a big deal. I just had my partners, and that was that.
Yeah, and that's great. I mean, you know, that there was the acceptance and allowance for that, for sure, because as anybody else who is an empath knows, I mean, that is very critical. And, you know, energy is constantly moving and flowing through you, and, you know, I think you do have to be careful, like, who you let, I'll use the word touch, quote-unquote, whether it's literally or just, you know, mentally, emotionally, or whatever, who you let touch you, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's really important that the person, because this is the energy, is aligned with why they are doing the practice. Because if it's about making money, or I don't feel like going to college, there's a resonance to that. And I think that's what I was picking up, that these kids, and it wasn't just kids, but, you know, they weren't really in alignment with why they were doing this.
Right. Yeah. And I would say that should be the case with anything that you do, you know, definitely in your career or in life. I mean, you need to be just present and aware and, like you said, in alignment with what you're doing and your purpose for it.
Right. Exactly.
Definitely. But yeah, I think those are definitely great points that you made. I mean, definitely following your heart, knowing, you know, understanding why you're doing what you're doing. And that, I think, for many people will be enough to, you know, overcome other people's judgments or opinions or things like that. Like you said, there was no way he was going to budge you from your intentions.
Yeah. And then one thing led to another, you know, and it was fun, and I'm still having fun learning all of these healing modalities and all the ways to heal. It's really endless. So I think that's another thing, is follow your heart. And are you excited about it or interested in learning about it and all the other directions and avenues that it will take you?
Exactly. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your practice in general, you know, what you do with your clients. And like you said, it keeps evolving and you keep learning new things. And so anything that you want to touch on, you know, whether it's the yoga practice or massage or aromatherapy, you know, tell us what you do, basically.
Okay. Well, it's really all of the above. Yes, I teach yoga, but what I do in my practice is it's really, I'm guided, it's very intuitive, and I remember when I was in massage school, you know, they had these routines, and I'm like, those didn't resonate with me. Everybody's different. I didn't realize that at the time, why. But somebody comes to me, I'm picking up our energy or our guidance is talking to one another. So when they get on the table, you know, and I do talk to them, how can I help and what is your intention for today? And, you know, and they tell me, but as they're speaking it, I'm hearing it on one level, feeling it on a different level. And so everybody's massage is different. I don't have a routine. And sometimes I start with their feet, sometimes I start with their neck and the head. And the other two things that I do is I use essential oil, so I ground the person. A lot of people aren't even grounded. They're not in their bodies. And the healing takes place when you're in your body. So that's what's really cool to me about massage, is that sometimes I can feel their bodies go sunk, you know, they're back in. Especially older people. So I use essential oils, and some of them help to ground the person, relax, and heal. And I also do my practice on what's called a biomat, which, because I was such an empath, I was picking up energy. And sometimes I would have to cancel my appointments, because if my energy level wasn't high enough, I was afraid I was going to pick up their stuff, because when you give a massage, the person is releasing. Hopefully they're releasing their stuff, and I don't want to be there to pick it up, you know. And sometimes I've actually gotten physically sick because I wasn't protected enough. And so anyway, that's another topic. So what the biomat is, it's 25 pounds of amethyst crystal. It has far infrared and negative ions. The amethyst protects my energy field, and it takes care of the person's energy. So that has been one of the biggest boosts. Plus, the far infrared and the amethyst really relaxes the person. In fact, when I first start giving a massage to a new client, I say, you know, this isn't for my entertainment. It's best if we don't talk, unless you want to, because some people release stress by talking. And it's uncomfortable to have silence. So I honor that, and I say, this is your massage. And, you know, if you want to talk, that's fine, but I would rather you go deep inside, and that's where the healing is going to take place. So So those are the two things that I use, the oils and the biomat, to help me with the person. It's just so deeply relaxing, both of them.
Yeah. I can't imagine people talking during a massage, but I guess some must.
Oh, they do.
Oh, God. I'm like, it's just like my time to just, I'll chit-chat for a couple of minutes because I know my therapist so well. But,
yeah,
like, within 5 minutes, I'm done. And she's like, you know, does her thing, and I'm, you know, just, that is my quiet time. And, yeah, but you're right. I mean, I'm sure that people do, it's more just like, oh, should I try to converse with this person? And they may not be comfortable. So
silence is sometimes awkward, and I think it's golden. So that's what I say. Silence is golden. But it's your massage, and some of them just, you know, do like to chat, and that's fine. But I'm better if we're not talking, because I'm so intuitive, and I'm not distracted by being in my head listening to the conversation and keeping it going. But some people have issues, and they want to talk about it. So I just go with, you know, they're my client, and I'm here to serve them. So, you know, I give them permission to not talk, and then I just take their lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
But one thing, and so the other thing about yoga is that I'll give them at the end, you know, if I'm working on a certain area in their body, I'll know a yoga posture, and I'll say, why don't you do this? And I'll show them before they leave a couple things. But what's really interesting and is that many people, and I was one, do not breathe properly. They breathe backwards. You know, when you inhale, your abdomen's supposed to come out, and then when you exhale, it comes in. The diaphragm contracts. So a new client, I'll watch them breathe. But I won't tell them. I'm going to watch you breathe. So I'll watch them breathe, and if they're breathing backwards, near the end, I'll show them how to breathe and to practice that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that many people do not even realize, aren't recognizing the way that they breathe, how they're breathing, the lack of how much oxygen they're taking in. Because some people, I feel like they're not even breathing at all. They're just, you know.
I know. And that was me. In fact, the Hawaiians call mainlanders haoles, and that means no breath.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a no breather. I remember just not needing to breathe. And it's not like totally, but what I learned in the course of my studies is that the upper lobes of your lungs have stress receptors. So if you're a shallow breather, and it was designed back in, you know, 5,000 years ago to help us survive, actually you're breathing, waiting for a bear to come out of the woods and take you out. So, and now with the chronic stress that's epidemic in our society, people have become very shallow breathers, and it just perpetuates the stress cycle. And by breathing backwards, chances are you are living in the sympathetic nervous system, which is fight or flight. So by learning how to breathe properly and take some nice deep breaths, you can help to get into the parasympathetic, and that's where the healing is. Sympathetic means you're trying to survive. Parasympathetic is you're trying to heal. And not trying to heal, but your body knows that that's the healing time. And the at the base of your lower lobes are relaxation receptors. So if you can get into some nice deep breathing, your body just starts automatically relaxing.
Yeah, that's so important. I think people are living in just a constant stress situation. And, you know, we're physiologically, the body doesn't really know whether we're being chased by a saber-toothed tiger or we're sitting in traffic or we're at a job at work frustrated or something, you know. We still have kind of that primal response, and we don't, nowadays we just don't have enough release for that, you know. We don't exercise enough, we don't eat right, We don't breathe. We don't do meditative things. And so, you, like you said, you keep staying in that chronic elevated stress situation.
Right. And I think that in the end, over years, it leads to anxiety. And I work with people that have anxiety, and it's just repetitive thinking that stresses you out. So if you can get somebody to get out of that pattern of that repetitive, negative, stress-causing thinking, whatever it may be, and there's certainly enough stressors out there to hook us, you know, just by taking a few moments and breathing maybe lavender, just will help you to calm your body down and shift, get you out of that repetitive, stressful cycle.
Right.
And I wanted to say something else, too, about lavender. Lavender, Gary Young says, is the Swiss Army knife of essential oils. I love it because it's inexpensive, and it does so many things. Well, one of the things it did for me was I had asthma and a lot of allergies. I was allergic to the environment, any animal, flying or walking. Anyway, I loved cats. Long story short, I got rid of my allergies by using lavender.
Wow.
Yeah. I went to a seminar, and they said at the seminar, does anybody not like lavender? And I raised my hand, and she said, well, that's because you probably really need it. Do you have allergies? And I didn't know any of this stuff. That was, you know, when I first started with the oils. And she said, you could help alleviate your allergies because you're living in it. Your body is toxic. Well, I thought, and I was eating very, very well. I've always been very motivated by eating healthy and really good nutrition. So I was shocked when she said, well, you're in a toxic body. But there's many ways your body can get toxic.
Oh,
so
sure.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So long story short, I have two big cats.
That's awesome.
Isn't it awesome? I was like, this works.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. I've heard many, many incredible stories about essential oils and, you know, for all different types of health issues, and allergies for sure, and that kind of thing. So,
yeah
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So before we finish, I wanted to give you an opportunity to let people know if you have any events or things coming up and how they can get in contact with you, whether via your website or email. So go ahead and let us know about that.
Okay. I am working on a series of classes right now. It's going to be 4 classes. It takes place right now in the Detroit area. And it is a wellness class, and really what it is we'll be doing Kundalini yoga. I'll be talking about nutrition. I'm not a nutritionist, but one of my big passions is food and nutrition. I've been reading books on nutrition since I was 22. In fact, 20 also. I mean, when I taught myself yoga, I remember reading a book by Adele Davis, and it was called Let's Eat Right to Keep Fit. And those two things had a big impact on my life. So what these classes are going to be is everything I've really learned on my own healing journey. And it's been 20 years worth, easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm structuring the classes right now, and they'll be given on Saturdays, and they're 4 hours. So and I'm going to be covering everything, the oil, stress, breathing, yoga, nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great.
My people can contact me by phone if they choose. My phone number is 313-506-1302. They could text me on that number, too. And my email address is cjhaas, H-A-A-S 9@comcast.net. That's my direct email. And I'm also working on a website, and it's called simplyhealinglife.com. Mm-hmm. So great. That's an easy way to. And I do phone consultations because what I do is help people to get back on track. Somehow, you know, with our busy lives and jobs and kids and stress and everything that's out there in the world right now, it's easy to get off track. So I like to talk to people and help them get back on. And the other thing, and this is a strength of mine too, is I like to give people hope because so many times you'll go to a doctor and they pretty much tell you what's going to happen and it's not pretty and you're going to have to live with it and take this drug. And while I really respect allopathic medicine, it certainly has been a part of my life and there's a good reason for it. I don't think they believe in healing so much, and I do. And so I like to give them some hope and some information and something else to research themselves or, you know, just find a little different belief because there's so many different healing ways out there. And I just like to introduce them to what I know.
Yeah, there definitely is. And I'm sure that people will be in touch with you so you can help them get back on track for sure. We're excited about the book. It's going to be projected to come out later this fall, but we'll keep everybody posted with our website. And thank you so much again, Cynthia, for being on the call. It's been great having you.
Oh,
and I hope you have
pleasure.
A great rest of your day.
Thank you. Same to you.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.